come with me?
I can't. I'm going to listen to the 20 megabyte podcast.
You come with me.
Me come with you?
Yes.
Me come with you. It's tempting.
Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 388. I'm Adam, and it's on the tip of my tongue. And here's Izzy Pearson.
I used to be a white-headed Scotsman.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I am important.
Debbie Melrose.
It's the night shift in Sheffield. Everything's out of the ordinary.
And Mary Lang.
I'm really craving a fried egg sandwich.
Well, maybe later, Mary.
Do a podcast. I haven't had a fried egg sandwich in years.
Me neither. Oh, that does sound good.
I never even had one.
They're great. They're absolutely amazing.
Anyway, we're all here to talk about The Woman Who Fell to Earth slightly later than most of the other podcasts have done, because we have circumstances that other podcasts don't have, like stuff to do. So we're doing it now.
In Mighty Podcast, are we?
Anyway, so the episode begins with some chap talking to camera, basically doing a bit of a vlog. Now, Isabella knows a bit about vlogs, don't you? A bit of a fan of YouTube vlogs.
Yes, I am.
Is anybody a particular people that you watch on this particular setup?
Jacksepticeye.
Just Jacksepticeye. There we go. Yes, Kirby?
I want to know more about Secret Pigeon.
Secret Pigeon?
Oh my god, yes, yeah, Secret Pigeon.
Yes, there are a few adverts on the right-hand side of the screen, aren't there? I don't know if they're real or not.
No, they're not adverts, they're other vlogs.
Yeah, but I just wonder if they're real.
Who knows? I doubt it.
I actually don't know if they're real. I want to look them up now.
It'd be funny if people start setting them up if they're not real. Anyway, so on to the story, because he has a little bit of go. This is basically that clip as a flash forward to later on in the episode.
Did you notice that two people didn't like this clip? He has two thumbs downs.
Yes, I saw that.
No, I didn't see that, I'm afraid. No, I was busy
watching the episode. Wait, did he?
I don't know.
Yeah,
probably.
I'm blind.
But they were all. He'd only just started speaking, but they were already there, so they didn't actually add on as it was going.
No, here we go. It's YouTube. They had watched it.
Okay, so they're not watching it live then. I thought they were watching it live. Okay, well, I apologise. Oh, what's that outside?
I think it's a plane going over. A plane or a helicopter.
Anyway, right.
It's going down, going low, and it looks like it's the. Coast Guard, so that'll be someone with a heart problem going from the hospital.
Okay, thank you for that update, Debbie. We're getting news and women Coast Guard reports there on the podcast. It's amazing. So we've got this chap who was just on the vlog trying to learn how to ride a bike. Now, he's got coordination issues. That's why he can't ride the bike, and he falls over, and he slings his bike over this beautiful cliff, a cliff very similar to one I did a photo shoot yesterday, actually. Yes.
Is this really in Sheffield?
I don't know. Debbie, is it really in Sheffield?
Looks like it.
Does look Sheffieldish, doesn't it?
But it's beautiful. Again, they film in Cardiff, so...
They do indeed, but the scenery here is very, very nice.
I think it was probably in Sheffield.
Because he thinks it's probably in Sheffield. But nevertheless, wherever it may be, it's very, very pretty. But what got me, just before he goes down to fetch the bike that he petulantly threw over the cliff, Graham and Gray say, we've got to go and catch our train in 5 minutes. Well, surely they're not 5 minutes away from the railway station, are they?
He's a 20 minutes.
Oh, here we go.
What? 20 minutes.
All right, I'll restart that phrase. Surely not 20 minutes away from the railway station, are they? Everybody's gone quiet now. They agree with me.
Probably like 10 minutes.
I don't know.
We don't know. English do long walks everywhere, so.
Yeah, I don't know, but I felt they were quite high up, and the railway line would probably be quite low down, but there you go. Bearing in mind.
The dude who was the target of Tim Shaw decided to walk to work from the stop train. So
okay, I'll
it
give them that.
Must not be very far.
Okay, but anyway, the little forest and The scenery is beautiful where they shot all this stuff. And then Ryan wanders down to try and find his bike, and this sort of this diamond shape thing appears. And obviously, if that happened to you, your first thing you go and do is go and touch it, wouldn't you?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would
brilliant
touch
idea.
It.
Yeah.
Well,
do you know the first thing I'd do before...
Poker.
Yeah.
Don't be rude, Debbie. But do you know what the first thing I would do would be?
What?
I would take a picture of it with my phone.
Run away!
That's what British people would, anyone in this world would do now. See something mysterious? Ooh, let's take a picture of it.
Exactly. But he didn't.
Then go with it, yeah.
Anyway.
Now what flavour Hershey Kiss is that?
What's a Hershey
Kiss? Oh, very funny. It's a little sweetie. It actually looked like a meringue to me, a little purple meringue.
I thought it was a garlic.
Oh, you don't have Hershey Kisses?
No,
probably.
What are they?
They're sweets.
Okay.
I have heard of them, but I didn't think of that when I saw it. I thought, because we're watching Bake Off at the moment, all I thought of was meringue.
Oh, yeah.
A vegan meringue.
Anyway, so a little meringue appears. And, of course, at this point, then, instead of taking a picture of it with his phone initially, he phones up somebody. Did he phone up the police?
Yeah.
Police, yes.
And then that's when we meet Yaz, that's it, yes, who splits up a minor dispute between a woman with a very long scarf
in the windscreen.
Yeah, no, that was funny. With a very long scarf, the lady had, and the woman and the other woman had a sort of a coat that was quite similar to the 13th Doctor's coat, which I thought was quite an interesting. I wonder if they threw that in deliberately scenario. What do you reckon?
Quite a few of those. Don't know. Things,
little
yeah.
tidbits, Debbie.
Little.
Oh, here we go.
I just posted a picture of Hershey's Kisses. I can't believe you don't have them.
How fascinating. I suppose a bit of a look at that.
They're a little thing with chocolate.
No, I better have a look at this, otherwise there's...
Hershey Kisses. I can't believe you don't have them.
Yes. Hang on. What's the name of our group? 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Fake Facebook Group, which you can join. Have you noticed that the little subtitle that says which you can join is no longer there?
Because I haven't seen any.
Yes, there's
no,
comments now.
I can't see anything there at all. Can you see anything there as well? No, I can see our video. No. Oh, hang on, he's posted it on the Facebook live feed.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
nothing there either. Now I've clicked on that, I can hear myself.
Posted nothing.
Oh, dear, pardon me. Don't shout, because your mother will come down and get absolutely... Anyway, sorry, Debbie, what did you say?
My cat's decided, if you can hear a weird noise, my cat's decided to come and try and die quietly in the corner for some reason, but not doing a very quiet
cat.
Job.
I can't even see it on that one. So getting distracted by Kirby.
Because I won't let her outside.
Moving away from the 20 megabyte cat podcast, back to Doctor Who. So Yasmin is bored, so she goes back to head office and asks us something a bit more interesting to deal with. So her sergeant sends her out to see Ryan, who they've been to school together. They recognise each other.
She doesn't go back to head office.
There's only a certain number of people in Britain, aren't there, and they all know each other.
Shut up, Kirby. Anyway, so I'm sorry, I got that wrong. As Miss Pedantic sat to my right just pointed out, she calls the police station and gets sent there to meet Ryan. And they have a sort of for old times take chat. And the next clip, we're on the train with Graham and Grace, who are going somewhere. Did we ever find out where they were going?
They were going to...
They're going home.
Home.
Yeah.
They're just going home, yeah.
And it's obviously quite cold because Graham's got... It looks like a West Ham scarf right around his neck. I don't know if Bradley Walsh is in fact a West Ham fan. I wouldn't be surprised if he was.
Well, when they going to Grindelwald?
I don't know, mate. That sounds like a Harry Potter reference. Sorry, Debbie.
Wednesday.
Oh, Debbie,
scarf.
You've gone all funny again.
She's gone funny.
Wednesday scarf.
Is it? I wouldn't have thought so, because Sheffield Wednesday play in blue and white stripes.
I didn't know, I asked.
I said Liverpool.
Oh, okay. No, Sheffield Wednesday play in blue and white stripes and Sheffield United play in red and white stripes. So I'd say no. And of course he's got a Cockney accent, so I reckon it's probably a London team. I'd say West Ham. So I'm surmising.
I think it's probably West Ham.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Kirby
will now be looking at West Ham strip.
Yes.
No.
So,
the
train grinds to a halt after an alien goes through a windscreen and kills the driver very horribly. And
poor woman.
Yeah. And then, like you say, the target, as you called him, is also on the train with them. And they go investigating, and they do find the dead body eventually. But the funny thing is that when the doctor falls through the roof of the train, I freeze framed it. It's just one frame of her sort of outline in mid flight as she goes through the. Now the velocity of travelling through the roof of the train, I would have thought would have also taken us through the floor of the train, but I don't suppose that really matters.
Also, Master.
Yes.
A fall from a radio telescope killed the doctor once, and yet this didn't.
Oh, come on, Kirby. Right, point deductive, Kirby. Right, where's... Kirby. I'm having a point deducted because he knows full well, because we discussed it last... Actually, we discussed it actually at the Christmas special when the doctor fell out of the TARDIS.
Oh,
that
yeah, we did.
She's regenerating. She's going to hit the ground. She's still regenerating. She'll be fine. As River Song was when she was regenerating, when she was still Melody Pond, while she was being shot at by Nazis. A point deducted for Kirby for trying to be clever. There we go. Right. He's gone all quiet now because he knows me. I'm right.
Well, I wanted to also point out that they... appear to be being chased by the Scribble Monster from here.
Yes. I was going to make that point, so well done, point reinstated. Yes, it was indeed the Scribble Monster from... yeah, well done. I haven't got anybody who's got any points at the moment. I better put that in while I'm at it. Oh, it's the wrong way.
I thought it was like Mr. Messy.
Oh, no, it's come up with a strange equation when I typed in the zero on Debbie's one.
I thought it was like Mr. Messy.
Mr. Messy.
From the Mr. Members.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Those are like the Mr. Men books.
Oh, of course. Right. Yeah. Point for Isabella. Yeah, it's very good. Yes.
And Charlie Brown's friend Linus walks around with that over his head all the time.
Yep.
All right, we're going to move on now, so don't keep trying to fish for ideas. I've lost me. There it is. Right, yeah, so little Scribble Monster. Who actually is slightly better rendered than the Scribble Monster from...
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Much
they
better.
Seem to have a budget.
So the Doctor appears and is... Yeah, I think there was a little bit of a glow from her hands as she stood up, just to sort of show that she's still in the process of regenerating. And she sort of turns around and finds... Although, you know, we thought... from when she first appeared that her catchphrase was going to be brilliant. It clearly isn't.
Yeah.
Because she didn't say it once throughout the whole thing. But she's...
However, I have to say she was brilliant.
Oh, yes, she was indeed.
Yeah, she was good.
Tremendous. She's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, this scene was a scene we've already seen, apart from when the creature touches the wall of the collarbone and plants the little bombs in them. And, she sort of quickly takes control. Pardon?
It's a bomb.
A bim. So they find the dead driver. None of them are two-faced by this, really. I mean, you wouldn't expect Yaz to be anyway. She's a police officer. Ryan, I would have thought he'd maybe find it a little bit. But as he watches all stuff on YouTube, he sees that sort of thing all the time on YouTube. Don't know what that sort of graphic yuckiness.
I don't see all that stuff on YouTube.
If you want to.
I don't see it either.
If you want to. Like
video
games.
And I'm on YouTube all the time.
Yeah,
I'm
on YouTube all the time. If you want to see that sort of stuff, it's all on there. And I personally don't want to see it, but I know it's there. Because other people have showed it to me and I've said, no, thank you. There's enough horrible things in the world. You don't really want to watch it on YouTube, even though if you really want to, blah-de-blah-de-blah. So the Doctor quickly, like I say, takes control, and is somebody has nicked, because they go into the forest.
Yeah, someone nicked the garlic. Yeah.
Oh, it's a garlic now.
Yes, it's a garlic. Right. It someone's looks like a garlic.
It looks like Nick the Hershey's Kiss, yes.
We like the Hershey's Kiss.
Okay, fine, Hershey's Kiss.
Do you know what Hershey's Kisses remind me of, Debbie?
No.
Do you remember those little sweets with tiny little biscuits? Had a little tiny little...
Midget gems.
No, not midget gems.
Midget gems. No, what do they call them? They call them something gems instead.
No, they were little biscuits. Tiny biscuits that were around, and they had a little whip of icing on the top.
They called something gems, and I can't remember what they
were. Ice gems.
Over here, we call them Hershey Kiss cookies.
Ice gems. Right, I'm going to have to look up ice gems.
I don't know anything about what's going on right now.
Iced gems.
Well, all I'm going to say is I like cookies.
Yeah. Will you stop shouting?
I'm sorry.
Ice gems.
Yeah, I'm right, they're ice gems. I don't know if they're made by the Vitties. I don't know if they still make them.
Oh, I've had them before.
If they do, I had a packet the other day and they're great.
I've had them. Well, I wouldn't say they were great. I seem to remember liking them quite a bit.
That's a nice picture, one there. I've had that before.
Yeah, sorry, but sorry, viewers. We'll have to refer to the viewers in a minute.
I know what you're talking about now, because I've had them.
Have you now?
Yes, I have.
I want to get onto the Facebook page and post that picture. Yeah, so we were talking about the iced gem. The icing from the ice gem, which has been nicked by this Asian chap, who's sort of lost his system many years previous, and thinks that he's going to take on this thing that killed his sister.
Sorry,
I've done conflicted. I'm trying to talk and post a picture. I think I'm doing this rather skillfully, actually. I have to multitasking at the highest order here. Right, there's a picture of the ice gem. How do I get it onto the time thingy?
I don't know.
This is awkward. Oh, I just closed all the windows down. How do I do that?
Then all of a sudden something appears.
Yeah, no. Wedding poses.
Yeah.
Because it's... hang on, let's make the picture a bit smaller. And I might be able to get... This is interesting for the listeners, I have to say. It's a real treat for the listeners. Come on, post it in there. Come on, do it for me. Come on. It's not going to do it, is it? Oh...
And I just posted Hershey Kiss cookies.
Thank you for that. I can't get this to work. Why did I bother?
Oh, they look yummy.
Yeah. I'll find a link. I would have had
it. When you unwrap the silver, they look and they're yummy too.
Yeah, so they're not quite the same as what we're talking about, and I think ours are a bit more accurate, aren't they, Izzy? Mm. Let's see how it answers. Yeah. Well done. 2 points, really. Right then. Right, so back to the story. Yeah, so they all go back into Sheffield. But meanwhile, like I say, this chap's caught this thing, and he sets up loads of cameras to record the what might happen to it.
He set up like two or three cameras.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And
come to think of it, I don't think they ever watched the videos that he took of it actually breaking apart.
Yeah, I'm not.
We don't see it.
I'm not sure about that, but there was obviously a file that ready to play, wasn't there, later on?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they're going around. What are they looking for? They go around. They're asking people for.
No, they're asking to see if anything.
Go to the bus station.
Yeah.
So they're going out. And I love the
bus driver.
I love the bus driver that Graham speaks to. Which he said about his wife or something like that. That made me laugh. But I can't find that bit.
I know his bit.
He's going to be doing karaoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes over for karaoke.
To be precise, it's this bit here.
Yeah, her wife's out of her mates doing karaoke.
Strange creatures out tonight.
My wife's out with her mates at karaoke, if that's what you mean.
Oh, this was so fantastic. In fact, that was the highlight of the episode. Right then. So the doctor, meanwhile, a little bit later on, is having a bit of a lie down. Because she's regenerating.
I've noticed now that the doctor always releases one bit of Artron energy or regeneration energy from their mouth.
To the Tenant era, really.
I don't think they've all done that, but I know. I remember Tenant doing it in Christmas. I think
it was the Christmas Invasion.
It was a nod to his regeneration, definitely. Because we got music and everything, you know, just quick, brief.
Do you know what it reminded me of?
One thing I noticed.
What did it remind you of, Dad?
Going back to where she falls through the roof of the train, when she stands up, we had a very nice little clip
to the train.
With theme music.
Yeah.
Clip of the what?
When she fell through the roof.
Yes,
I heard that bit.
We had a nice little clip of the what music?
Of the theme music.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So
We waited a good minute to get that sentence out.
I did notice that.
Anyway, do you know what it reminded me of, this bit of Artron energy coming out the doctor's mouth?
What?
David Tennant.
No, well, a little bit. No, so not connected with Doctor. No, it was Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, when Sirius Black is lying dead prone on the ground, and a little bit his sort of like soul floats out of his mouth, and then Harry goes Expecto Patronum, and then undoes everything. Brilliant.
And I'm wearing Harry Potter.
My favourite scene from Harry Potter, that is.
Cool.
So anyway, back to Doctor. So yeah, so she's woken up. She's sort of moaning because she's sort of been woken up a bit early. She's still, you know, rebooting, as she calls it. And while that all happens, then the garlic cracks open, and a rather cool sort of transformer type character.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I thought it was a robot at first.
It's not a transformer, because transformers are so much bigger.
Yeah, but it does look quite cool. he threatens him with a crowbar, but it doesn't last very long before he's done in by the... He said, "You will never know." Because he said about his sister, "What have you done with my sister?"
You will never know.
And yeah, that's the end of him. And of course, and we see him stoop over the body and take something, but obviously we find out it's a tooth. Why is it disgusting?
Like, why would you do that? Is that what our world is coming to now?
No, it's not our world, is it? It's an alien, dear. So
still, what if we actually did that though? Every time
the scribble monster is on the top on the roof of a of a building, while the team are downstairs in the sort of the garage, I suppose it is, where all this stuff's been happening, and they find the empty garlic. And the doctor sort of comes up to a few conclusions. And
slightly wrong, too.
Yeah. And also she realises that she really is missing having a sonic, and decides it's time to make a sonic screwdriver after obviously hijacking Ryan's phone and turning it into some sort of gadget.
Oh, Ryan!
The entire episode.
I beg your pardon?
My least favourite scene in the entire episode.
What, where she nicks the phone?
Making
the sonic.
I didn't mind the making the sonic bit. I like the fact that she decided she was going to use Sheffield steel, and she was going to use spoons, because obviously that's a bit of a homage to Sylvester McCoy.
The scene she was making the sonic, it was okay. It wasn't the best. I thought it would be more exciting.
Sorry, Mary.
Yeah, the fight.
The 12th Doctor was going to fight with a spoon.
Also, Master, that's what I do.
If anyone has watched any of the extras that have appeared out there, apparently the Sonic, if anyone has the toy Sonic, it has the maker's mark of Sheffield steel spoons.
No, I haven't got it, but I've asked for it.
Nice one, Deb.
they showed the actual prop.
Yeah. So anyway, she makes this sonic. I didn't mind that scene at all. I thought it was quite charming, to be fair.
My problem with it is that it was established in the 11th Doctor's thing that when he would lose a sonic, that the TARDIS produced another before.
But it's always also.
And also, the TARDIS isn't there. And remember the whole business end Day of the Doctor with the program running for years and years and. Everything and the software. Where's the software coming from?
Yeah, okay. I'm not bothered about that because the Doctor made the first sonic screwdriver anyway, and not the TARDIS. So, and like she said, I like making things, so she's perfectly capable of making a sonic screwdriver. Maybe it's a bit far fetched, but what are we watching here? Science fiction fantasy TV show.
Make a sonic screwdriver.
I think it also means that the sonic screwdriver is going back to basics because they were using it to solve everything like K9. Oh, you know?
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't quite say that.
Yeah, maybe this is the way that they've pulled it back to a more basic tool.
I wouldn't say that, but judging by the episode we just watched, I don't think it's going back to basics. No.
Yeah, one thing, it's just the magic wand like always.
Yeah.
One thing that was not made clear until I saw the extras was that the glowing tip came from Tim Shaw's.
Yes, I knew that. I saw that because you saw her take it out of the debris. Anyway, back to the episode. So they find the file after she's made the sonic screwdriver of the chap talking about his sister going missing and stuff like that. And then they go out into the street and stumble across Tim Shaw. What's your name?
Tim Shaw.
Tim Shaw.
But no, we don't. That's not before though. He's murdered an innocent drunk who doesn't seem to like the salad in his kebab.
I don't think he likes salad.
No.
Okay, Master.
Oh God.
You're now the second person I've heard refer to that specifically as a kebab.
Yeah.
How do you know and why?
Because it's a doner kebab. It's obviously a doner kebab.
Has been drunk in England, has gone into a kebab shop on the way home and had one.
It's a drunk's staple snack after getting drunk.
What is in it?
It's a bit of pita bread with loads of lamb, like spiced Captain lamb.
So you know Captain Caveman and that great big club that he used to have? They now have basically one of those behind the counter with lamb meat on it.
Oh, it's a hero.
Oh, except we don't snack on them like you guys do.
Well, I'd love to have some, but they're
very
fat.
Yeah, we have them, but we call them gyros.
Anyway, yeah, so it's a doner kebab. So it rotates and a thing.
It's spelled G-Y-R-O-S.
Yes.
It's supposed to be pronounced gyro.
Either way, back to the episode, that's what he's eating.
You every day, don't
now,
you?
What gets me is when I have ever ordered a doner kebab, I just ask what I want in it. I would not, if I don't want salad, they you just say, no salad, please. Just have the kebab.
He finishes mine.
Well, he's silly. Yeah, so he gets killed as well and has taken something taken. Then the doctor, I think, at some point realises that teeth are being taken as not necessarily as trophies, but she knows that teeth are being taken. And then they find the scribble monster. and as they find the scribble monster, the Tim Shaw turns up and they have a bit of a comedy conversation because of his name.
He's cheating. He's a cheater.
Yeah.
Like me.
And there's another lovely little point. Said, so who are you? I don't know yet.
Tim Shaw.
What?
Tim Shaw.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it says the doctor.
Assuming, yes? I'm assuming that the doctor, just before we joined the scene, is when she took the DNA bombs out of them.
Maybe. No, she didn't take them out. Oh, she did.
Yeah.
Oh, she did.
I never saw her do it. Yeah.
No.
We never saw her do it. We never saw her put it in the scribble monster.
She implied that she was going to get it out with the screwdriver.
Yeah.
That was the whole reason
but
behind
it. It would have spoiled the story a little bit if they showed it and at that time. So I haven't really got a problem with
that. That's a very Chibs thing to do.
A what?
Yes.
Mm.
He is somewhat predictable, unfortunately.
Yes.
You've just reminded me of something I watched yesterday. It was an episode of Big Bang Theory. I don't know why it reminded me, but there's, it's the one where they have some bloke on the phone who's the director of Clerks 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I know that one.
He's going to, I think, try and get Penny to play a part in Clerks 3. Yeah, sorry, that for some reason that reminded me of that.
You mean Kevin Smith?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, he's
was
a
in
hero. It.
He was in Big Bang Theory on the phone. To Wes Wheaton. Why say Wes
Wheaton?
Because he was Wesley in Star Trek Next Generation. So you'd have to watch Star Trek Next Generation now to see Will Wheaton in action, wouldn't you?
I love Star Trek Next Generation.
I love Star Trek Next Generation. Not as much as I love Voyager, who everybody else seems to hate. Moving back to Doctor Who.
I don't think Will Wheaton has actually worked as an actor since then.
He has in Big Bang Theory.
He's appearing on BBC America as, you know, this guy they all consult, you know, about, you know, the geekdom of Doctor Who.
Yes, yeah. He's just manifested himself as a kind of a geek.
Yes. So basically, in Big Bang Theory, he's playing himself, quite rightly so, and he does a really good job of it.
Yeah, he plays himself.
Yeah. So it's just quite interesting how they've sort of pitched him as a character in Big Bang Theory, and it works really, really well. Anyway, back to this episode. We see the target. Is it the target?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am important.
Yeah, doing his day job, because he's obviously feeling a bit, you know, undervalued. So he's in his crane, sort of chanting these little positivity statements.
Master.
Oh, God, I nearly got through a blimmin' sentence. Yes.
It seems like when we first see this building site, it seems nearly deserted, and then dozens of people appear to be working there. And also, why are they working at night?
I wondered about that, too. Where did all those people suddenly come from?
A lot of buildings are done at night.
Yes.
And then there's only one security guard?
If they've only got a skeleton.
Who's to say there's only one security guard? There might be others in the different parts of the... the plant. It doesn't matter anyway. But there was a very sad scene, of course, when the security guard says goodbye to his grandkids and then he's dead within seconds.
Maybe that's my least favorite scene.
Yeah, that's my least favorite scene.
That's also a very Chibnall thing.
Yes. Yeah, it's very sad. But anyway, that's what happens to him. And, of course, when the target tries to call for help when he sees that Tim Shaw climbing up the side of the crane, he can't get any help because he's dead.
It took Tim Shaw forever to climb that crane.
Yeah, I thought he was much swifter than that.
I thought he'd be up there like in seconds.
Yeah. So
film version of a second.
Meanwhile, the doctor and team turn up and the Doctor sort of sets about climbing up the crane and sends her two companions into danger straight away to climb up the crane, isn't it? To climb up the other crane, sorry, beg your pardon. And so they're trying to get up there before Tim Shaw does. The Doctor sort of does.
You do a lot of that so far, I must say.
What's that?
Oh, sorry.
Climbing up things.
Yeah, climbing up things.
Yeah, it's not really much of a spoiler, but it's quite clear that Ryan's not keen on climbing at ladders.
Yeah.
I think it's one of that thing to do with his problem with coordination.
Yeah.
And being scared of heights. So anyway, the Doctor coaxes, what's his name? The target, what's his name?
Target.
Carl. out of the cab.
Carl.
And says, come on, jump. And brilliant. Master. Oh, God.
Jesus. I was getting a real Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I don't watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You know, the scene up on the scaffolding where they're trying to sacrifice her sister?
Yeah.
No, but what you're on about. Never mind.
Yeah, I know that scene.
Do you
well,
know?
It's Isabella thinks knows what I'm talking about.
Good.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Is that it? Have we done that?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, like I said, so the Doctor tries to coax the chap,
Carl,
to jump. And I thought that was brilliant when he does jump and he gets grabbed from behind by...
He did it. That's the thing.
Yeah. It's important.
Yeah, and then he gets... whilst he's dragging away, the Doctor jumps across and...
I am important.
And this is... I think this is a point in which she remembers who she is. And did
my legs were definitely longer.
His legs were definitely longer.
She does the empowerment speech. I know I am. I'm the Doctor. And blah blah blah.
It's a great speech.
Yeah,
couple of good speeches along here.
Yeah. And I'll just move on because it was quite a long. Well, yeah, because then she shows her the recall, the thing, and threatens to break it if he doesn't let
or drop it,
or doesn't let Carl, is it?
Carl.
Yes.
I'll get the name in a minute. I'm terrible with names.
Couldn't tell.
Be quiet. And so eventually I think he sort of falls, doesn't he? But he gets hold of the recall thing.
Not because
Carl pushes him off. She has a go at Carl
for pushing him off. You shouldn't have done that, she says. Meanwhile,
Fred didn't like that the Doctor was angry at Carl for doing that. Fred said that Tim Shaw deserved it. So.
No, the Doctor would always do that, wouldn't he? She.
He's never happy about that at all.
But
never
meanwhile,
happy.
Grace has decided not to do what the Doctor said and stay out of it, and tries to help. And I think she does actually help, but kills herself in the process.
Yeah, she does what's needed to be done, but
She is the title character, the woman who fell to Earth.
Is she?
Yes.
That's actually true. That could be true.
It's not necessarily the Doctor.
But it could be the Doctor.
It could be the Doctor, but it's really...
But it could also be Grace, because she also felt that.
Yeah, I didn't really consider it to be Grace, because the whole point of this is that the Doctor is now a woman.
I think you meant to think it was referring to her, because, look, we opened talking about her.
Okay. It could be the doctor.
So once poor old Grace passes away, then we flash back to the YouTube sequence.
Well, that was so sad, that scene.
It was indeed.
Who has to ride a bike on one of the hardest parts of the...
Yeah. Why doesn't he do it on a normal street?
Because nobody's up there, and if he falls off, it won't be that embarrassing.
I'm sorry, but
still, I don't buy it.
I don't even know how to ride a bike.
He still falls off.
He's distracted, is he? That means they have no sense of balance, unfortunately. Mm.
And I will say also that another theme of this series obviously is going to be at some point Ryan is going to call Graham Grandad somewhere along the line.
Probably at the last episode.
Maybe so.
Probably in a moment of trauma, so.
Then we see the very sad speech, which I quite like this backstory of Graham talking about how he and Grace met. It's not really, it's poignant, but it's not really, has any gravitas to the story, but it's quite a nice backstory, yes?
I was still trying to talk about the bike riding scene, and you moved on.
Well, it's not very interesting, but carry on, I'll give you a chance.
At least we didn't... see him successfully ride the bike.
Yeah. He fell.
You kind of go into those scenes thinking, oh, at the end of the story, he's going to actually do it.
No, that wouldn't have made sense because he has.
It'll come up in a later episode.
He'll pull it all together in a very. Yeah.
Or he'll just get cured of his condition by something later on in the series. Anyway, so look, as I was talking about Graham's poignant speech about Grace and how they met and everything. I thought that was quite nice.
That was
very
sweet.
Nice, actually. That was a nice little touch. I like. They only had 3 years together, but what fantastic years. And she was an amazing lady, definitely.
Yeah. She was.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about her. It was about the doctor.
Indeed. And of course, there's been a few instances during this particular story where the doctor's gone into her pockets trying to find stuff she needs, and there's too many holes in the pockets, and eventually Yaz says, right, you need some new clothes, and so she
goes to the charity shop.
I don't think you're going to find any of that stuff in the charity shop just yet. And after
I'm going thrifting tomorrow. I want to see if I can find something.
And after
I've heard a lot of people have trouble with the line the doctor says where she says, it's been a long time since I shopped for
clothes.
She might have been shopping for women's clothes for somebody, for another woman.
Or her granddaughter.
Thank you. God, so people are idiots, especially Doctor Who fans sometimes.
Sure of John Pertwee dressed up as the washer lady.
Yeah.
Been doing the rounds.
There's a little questionable cross-dressing going on there.
Anyway, so after getting her new clothes, she decides, right, I'm gonna use this kit to which was left behind by the aliens and stuff to get a position on my TARDIS. So she sets all this kit up and gets her friends to sort of help by holding bits together. We knew what was going to happen, but this reminded me a little bit of the scene when Rose was in the alternative universe and was set this little thing up to transport herself across universes to where the Doctor was.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, it was Donna, actually, not herself. Initially, it was herself, and then it was Donna.
With the bug on her back as well, showing her the bug.
Turn left, right.
I knew from the beginning of the scene that all of them were going to get transported.
Of course they were, because that's
kind of obvious.
So they do. She pressed the flick is switched.
Hence, is that why you knew that?
The switch is flicked,
everyone.
I should say.
Bye, end of the series.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The switch, shut up.
Now, why? Oh, how are they still alive?
I don't know. That doesn't matter.
We're not telling you, because we know.
Be quiet, Kirby. Anyway,
you know by now. Okay.
Be quiet! Right, point deducted. She was asked three times to be quiet.
I had trouble hearing you guys.
That's no point. No point. No excuse.
Kirby again.
Point deducted. Three times. Wasn't he asked three times? Is it?
Three times.
Yeah. So point deducted.
Not him.
Anyway.
Right. Because I was talking and he was trying to talk. So take it.
And
from
I said,
me,
shut up. Nobody shut up. So you got his point deducted. Anyway, so they all disappear. And then we have the lovely sting that we should never have got rid of at the end of the Tennant era, which is what Doctor Who's all about. And the theme tune is fantastic.
Unfortunately, I felt that it was really unnecessary to show us absolutely everybody who's going to be in it later.
I'm not bothered about that. It doesn't bother me at all.
The problem that I have watching BBC America is that they cut it off immediately at the end of the episode.
Oh.
So I never got to see any closing credits or hear the music that I hear everybody.
Well, don't worry. Spoilers, if you watch the next episode, it begins with no prequel, goes straight into the theme music and a new title sequence, and it's fantastic.
Right into it, yeah.
Would you do me a favor and play the closing credit music? Because I've heard about it, but
I've just closed it down. Mary. I can do that.
Why is it my fault? Is he's nearest?
I put down YouTube. It's not going to be on there, is it?
Because I loved the music all through the thing.
And I've heard
about the theme, but I haven't heard it yet.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I watched it three times.
What?
And
what's amazing?
The music.
The theme music's brilliant. Especially with the sting. It's got to have that sting in it. It's not Doctor Who, isn't it? In my view. Hey, Kirby.
But we didn't need to see absolutely everybody who's going to be in it, though.
I don't care what you say.
I recognise no one.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Right, be quiet. Here we go for Mary's benefit. Cut in so that, that it does carry on.
Oh
with
my
it.
Gosh! I mean, that's the classic theme.
It is.
Wonderful.
It's proper Doctor Who, isn't it?
Amazing! I'm so happy to hear that.
Right then.
Love it.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's really got a Doctor Who feel to it. Yes, Kirby. Before we move on, yes.
Well, since I would like to know. Is the Doctor's face in the opening credits?
No, don't worry about that. Uh-huh. It's a new opening credits. It's Doctor Who, and it's fantastic. Right then. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what we thought about the story. Now, the story myself, I thought it was okay. It was like a middling sort of Doctor Who story. I did enjoy it, especially on second viewing. I did pick up a few bits and bobs I didn't quite pick up on first viewing. Not the best, not the worst. It was okay. Certainly, it's difficult introducing lots and lots of new characters all together in the same episode, which was done in Rose to a certain extent. But Rose probably worked a bit better because it was just the one companion. It was difficult relating to the new companions. And I certainly related better to Graham than I did the other two, the younger ones, as yet. But obviously, they may grow on me as the series goes on, but I do like Graham as a character.
I think that's basically appeal to people of our generation upwards.
What,
more than
Graham?
Anything, bringing him onto the show. Yeah.
Okay, but I thought Bradley Walsh, as I said he was going to be, I thought he was fantastic. So, fairly middling story for me. I really enjoyed Jodie Whittaker. I think she's absolutely brilliant, and really, really loving her as the Doctor. Now, Izzy, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was okay. Like, it was kind of predicting. Like, predictable, pretty much. Like, the things that were going to happen. Like, right at the end of the episode, we all knew that they were going to come with her. Like, it was okay. It wasn't the best, but it was alright.
That's what I like to hear. Okay, Kirby. Go on in.
I love the new Doctor. The story was... okay.
Ah, good. He agrees with me.
Oh, fell. Oh God. I feel so much better about myself.
I didn't like Tim Shaw at all. He was
I didn't mind
him. Oh, Isla was terrified. Oh, my God.
I would think so.
And also, like I said, I did not like the sonic screwdriver construction scene at all.
Oh, well, I don't think that was too much.
I agree with him, because like, it could have been like a bit more entertaining. Like,
oh, come on.
No, because like, it was really boring.
It wasn't boring, it was just silly. But I didn't think it was too bad.
I just posted a link to the YouTube video that was just posted by BBC of the new title sequence.
Well done, Kirby. Don't get any points for that.
Okay.
But well done, Kirby.
Thank you.
Is that the closing titles, you mean?
No, it's the new opening titles. It was just posted.
The very naughty, spoilerific. That's very spoilerific, that is.
That was very rude.
We're trying not to spoil it here.
Yes, we do. Usually leads to points being... Right, okay, point deducted for Kirby. You were really not supposed to spoil it for people.
Not Kirby.
It was only been on a couple of hours ago, so it's going to... Well, it's not even a couple of hours. Point deducted.
Are you saying the BBC posted it?
Who posted the BBC posted it, did they?
It's like the fifth time, isn't it?
No, Mary, the classic theme is the theme.
Okay. Yeah, but you need to stop getting yourself in trouble. This is the
I'll
fifth time
off.
Now.
I've let him off because he said the BBC posted it. But if I find out later on he's lying...
He's not.
Okay, before
Doctor Who official YouTube channel, it's got the thing of Jodie Whittaker at the end saying, subscribe to the Doctor Who.
Okay. Have you finished yet, Kirby, by the way? Are you still talking about it? It's all gone quiet.
I think he stopped.
Did you stop? Because I'm going to, before we move on to the next person.
Oh, they put this something else too. Oh, it's spoilers.
Shut up.
Okay.
More spoilers.
Right, we're talking about last week's episode.
Yeah, shut up.
I'm done talking about last week.
Right, we're going to talk about what people have been writing on the feed, which I've rather missed because we've been excited about episode one. Lillian Robin said hi, and then she said, I love the new Doctor. Episode was okay, but not great. That's what I said. And then she said, hi,
that's all. That's like what I said, too.
This is Laurie Nix. She said, hi, all. And then she said, Hersey's kiss. Hersey's kiss to you, too, Laurie. Ian Kirk says, Hersey kisses on the Debbie post, asking for comments. And then Alan T. Butcher joined. That's interesting. And then Ian Kirk says, yeah, Chef.
Can I just say, Alan, sorry, I know you're listening. I did get your message, but I was in the middle of watching Isla in a show, so I will reply to you. Sorry.
Okay. Ian Kirk says, Sheffield United scars is red and white. I'm sure I said that. Ian, then he said, Scribble Monster is snakes on a train.
Yes.
Very good.
That's true.
Lillian Robin said, I love the Doctor asking to have the lights and siren on the police car. The disappointed expression was great.
She looked really sulky afterwards, didn't she? Yeah. She was like, we just said no.
And then Lauren Nix said, I liked that bit, made the Sonic more likable. And then Lauren Nix said, thankfully they held their breath. Don't know what that's in relation to.
Oh, and yeah, at the end.
Oh, of course,
at
yes.
At the end.
But if you hold your breath in space, your lungs explode, so probably
you blow, yeah. Mm. You're supposed to be exhaling, aren't you, in space?
If you watch Star Trek Discovery, you'll find that out. It happens quite a lot in that. Then Laurie Nix says, you can disclosing credits on BBC America now if you stream it. And then she says, focus, Kirby, focus. There's a few listings of people actually watching. What, six people watching. Amazing, isn't it? Well, it's because you're on, I suppose. Anyway, right. yeah, she's the YouTube queen. She's not on YouTube, just watches it a lot. Right, then, moving on to us again. This could be worth one of these, because we're going to move on to Debbie. Because she's been really worried about her opinion. Yes, go on, Debbie.
Yes, well, I've watched it three times. Jodie Whittaker is amazing. She's brought a lot to Doctor Who that I was hoping. So, unfortunately, this episode wasn't written very well and opened with, amazingly, a companion. And I just find every time we hit New Who, I'm just hoping just to go back to the basics, just to have the Doctor. Just have the Doctor for a bit, you know, like the standalone episode with Peter Capaldi. That was sensational. Just to become familiar with the Doctor before we start throwing not just one companion, but three, four in this episode into the mix. It is too much. It's overkill. I love Doctor Who, and this was brilliant, and I absolutely adore her. And I did love, God, I can't even remember the baddie's name now.
Tim Shaw.
I thought that was brilliant, because when he took his helmet off, you knew it was going to be gross. And you know he's going to come back, or someone like him is going to come back. He's the new baddie, so it's like, you know, that's it, gone. But I just felt she wasn't done justice as the character. She's been made too androgynous. And that's never bothered me in the past, because, you know, they've always done love interests for the Doctor, you know, that sort of thing. But now it's like she's a woman, but she's not really exploring the fact that she's a woman. It's like when what was it in the episode where the guy regenerated on Gallifrey into a woman?
Yeah.
And just was like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, it was like that. And I knew that when that happened, that would probably be how the female Doctor would be written, and unfortunately she was. And I just think the androgyny isn't necessary. You could have made her more feminine, made her outfit more feminine. It sounds awful, you know, in this whole day of, you know, equality, equal rights, everything like that. But there is sometimes too much playing safe. And I think they could have been a bit more daring with it, but I know that they were playing safe because so many people were against the female Doctor. And I'm just hoping, and having seen the second episode, I know that she's just going to be absolutely amazing. She's bringing so much to Doctor Who that she reminds me very much, I think, of Eleven, really.
Yes.
She seems to be channeling Matt Smith, mm-hmm. But she's done it beautifully. And I think there's so much to look forward to, but I watched the episode three, and Tom was really angry with me that I didn't enjoy it. He was really angry about it.
Did he enjoy it?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it straight off first. I absolutely fell in love with Jodie. It was brilliant.
you're breaking up,
Debbie, by the way. We're going through the Tom Baker era.
Yeah.
Debbie, you're breaking up.
We're going through classic
Who. Debbie, you're breaking up. Oh, she's gone.
Am I?
You were. She's back.
Yeah. Are you back now?
Is that better?
No.
Yeah, I think Skype got fed up with me ranting.
No. I think you're sort of fairly broken up, but we'll have to keep a monitor on that, won't we, everybody?
That's a bit weird.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Carry on.
Well, if it's silly, if it's sounding silly.
No, not point. Sounding silly. It's just you're breaking up on odd instances.
Yeah, you guys are doing that too. That's the problem. I don't know if it's my link.
It's your connection. Get white fibre. It's much better.
I am on white fibre.
Get a faster connection on white fibre. It's much better. So you're worried about the hate you were talking about when you posted on certain forums?
I'm worried about the way they're writing. There's too much playing safe. There's too much companion. Just bring it back. Bring it back. Let's get to know our doctor first, you know?
Mm. I'm not worried about the androgyny.
This is the main doctor that Isla is going to remember.
I think they could have just done, one episode of, just the doctor.
No, they may well do that.
Yeah. Just introduce our doctor.
Then, the next episode.
With TARDIS, get familiar with who they are. Mm. Maybe with a couple of extraneous characters, but can't we come across the next companion in a couple of episodes' time, straight away? Mm. You know, just change the formula.
They could have done that, but they didn't, I'm afraid, so then we're rather stuck with it.
Let's not have the Daleks in for at least two
I don't
seasons.
Think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to have any Daleks for...
Eh?
Yeah. That's no promise, that's no guarantee.
Well, we'll see.
I don't think there's going to be Daleks for a while.
No, I don't think we need Daleks, and I don't think there will be Daleks.
But that's how I feel. I voiced my opinion on other forums and got smashed for it.
Well, wait for them, and they're going to smash you here in a minute. Although, obviously, anybody does it on the 20 megabyte page will be kicked off and banned forever.
Oh.
No trolling on the 20 megabyte or in the
Thank
Doctor.
Thank goodness, either. Because I've been heartily trolled this last
you,
week.
Oh, poor Debbie.
Stands, I've watched
Where
it
was this?
Time.
Because I have not seen much negative.
There's been negative on, it was a couple of UK-based ones. I'm not naming names here. No, I don't do that. Not on the
A sympathetic team. Point for Debbie for what she's had to put up with, for having opinion. There we go. Oh.
Well done, Dad.
I didn't mean to do that. Okay, right. Thank you, Debbie. A better move on. Well, this is who we normally play this for.
Well, before I tell you what bothered me about the episode, I want to respond to a couple of points that Deb made. One is the androgyny of the Doctor. That was a choice. I saw an interview with Jodie Whittaker, and it was her choice to play it this way. In fact, she picked her outfit particularly because she wanted it to look androgynous.
I missed that. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And for me, too, it's a disappointment because it rules out a lot of the exploring of herself as a woman.
I think that may happen, though. At some point, there will be instances where she has to be feminine.
I hope so.
I think that's, it's got to happen at some point.
Yeah, and I rebel against the fact that we are just so politically correct. We are so inclusive. The cast is every mix of everything, and I imagine that's going to come along too. Everybody we meet is going to be somewhat disabled or gay or other races, I think the thing could possibly drown in political correctness at the expense of good writing. The other point is how she is so like the 11th Doctor. And that was going to be one of the points that I made is that, she's got that constant chatter, the side comments and everything. It's like her brain doesn't calm down.
Isn't it? The glee that he brought to it. And she's got it. Yeah.
And I enjoyed that about him. And I was enjoying that about her. So for me, I don't see it as a negative thing. But
No. I wasn't saying that as negative.
It's not terribly original.
Can I interject? I feel like I got that from a lot of the new doctors about this Glee thing, because certainly the Ninth Doctor, even though he was war damaged, he was still, it was always when he found something interesting, he'd be going fantastic and be all excited.
Yes. And Tennant especially.
Tennant, amazing. When he was hyperactive about stuff, an exciting situation, there was a lot of channeling of him, I felt, that Jodie was doing as well. But so I'm right with you. I just feel that that was all of those doctors, not obviously a little bit of Capaldi went again.
But she had that excitement. She had like the 11th Doctor really took it to, one might say, an extreme.
Yeah,
and then I think it dropped back some with Capaldi. But now we're ramped back up again, like we are with the 11th Doctor.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, I don't mind. You know, I enjoyed him, and I'm amazingly enjoying her.
Yes. Yeah. But, she's a revelation, isn't she?
The whole episode was ruined for me, basically, because they introduced the most amazing woman who was exciting, inventive, intelligent, running towards life and all that it has to offer. And since I knew from, you know, publicity stills and all the preview things that she was not going to be a companion, I waited for that entire episode to see what are they going to do with her? Are they going to is she going to say goodbye at some point? But I can't imagine she would. Not with Sophie and her husband being companions. So I knew she was going to get killed.
I said that to you when we were watching it.
The whole thing. Yes. When's going to kill her?
When is she going?
When is she going to die? When is she going to sacrifice herself or in some way die? So for me, that was a constant distraction through the entire episode. And disappointment. I would throw all three companions over the side to keep her because she was so amazing. And can you imagine the Doctor and Grace going through time and space?
The problem is they couldn't do that because the Doctor and Grace were the Eighth Doctor and Grace, weren't they? So it would be a little bit confusing.
My main dread is that they're going to do the episode with Rose where she goes back to save her dad.
Well, they've got a time machine now. When's a penny going to drop? When's a penny going to drop with Graham and Orion?
Exactly.
They're in the time machine.
They're fresh in mourning and they're going hunting for the TARDIS. You know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. It rings false. So, I want Grace. I don't want anybody else. I want
Bad luck there, Mary.
I actually agree with you there of, like, Grace not being a companion because it was so obvious that she was going to, die.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you see her on the screen, you haven't seen her in the trailer. She's like, she gonna die.
No, you knew that because you knew who the companions were going to be.
Exactly.
The companions were going to be, yeah.
And Graham would never have left Grace, you know.
No, they never would have left her. No, not at all. So I am mourning the loss of what could have been a perfect companion.
Yes.
Never mind, Mary.
She was really adventurous. She was always up for danger.
The building of the Sonic, what is it? The Sonic, what did she call
Sonic
it?
Sonic Swiss Army.
Swiss Army Sonic.
Swiss Army Sonic.
I still think it's a Sonic screwdriver at the end of the day. It's always been Swiss Army related, isn't it?
And she even said also in that interview, she says this whole season is a love letter to all of Doctor Who. So that tells me we're going to be seeing things that, you know, honor past doctors popping up all throughout. And I think her thing, I like to build things, you know, that goes back to the Third Doctor and all of his contraptions. Yep. And when she says to the companion, she says, well, come on, keep up. You know, to me, that was David Tennant's Doctor.
Oh, well, a bit of the Second Doctor as well.
Davidson used to do that a lot as well. Well, come on, you know.
Yeah, come on, keep up. Keep up, Pond. And I would even go as far as saying that the baggy pants and suspenders are a callback to the Second Doctor.
Indeed.
Yeah, so who knows? But that's what I have to say, and I wish I were not so distracted by Grace's, you know, impending death.
She was amazing.
Yeah.
She was
Never mind. It was still a pretty good episode. Not brilliant, not bad. A sort of average average yet. It was fairly good, but not the best. Could have been better. It was just too many little side distractions.
Could have been absolutely smash bang wallop. Here's your new.
But the important thing, the important thing that everybody seems to be saying, that's Jodie Whittaker smashed it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. She did really well.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, I love her.
Like you said, with the distractions, with Grace, when she's being the character in the first episode, like, that was the distraction, because, like, it's like, when's she gonna die, or, like, when, like...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the main distraction of that episode.
Yes.
Yeah, when Jodie turns to Yaz, who says, you know, you're a woman, she says, does it suit me? Yeah. I don't know, because I haven't seen you be a woman yet.
Anyway, moving on. Well, thanks, everybody. More comments. I'll tell you what, Jeff Waddle's been absolutely fantastic during this whole transition period.
Oh, yeah.
Said that I know, obviously, when it was announced it was going to be a woman, I think he was pretty much against it. But when it was revealed as Jodie Whittaker, he wasn't too sure. And then he said something like, at last, a doctor I'd like to shag. And he just posted on the thread here, I love Jodie Whittaker. Well, I love Jodie Whittaker too, Jeff.
About this second episode, she's amazing.
Yeah. Laurie Nick says, feminine is not limited to old fashion frills and frou-frou.
And no, I know, that's not what I was saying.
Yeah, nor I, yes.
Completely not what I was saying.
And Ian Kirk says, perhaps there was a joke intended when she says it is a long time since she's shopped for women's clothes. Then she chooses something unfeminine.
Yeah.
So there you go. Now, what we're going to do, slightly different order today, because this person sat to my right has got school tomorrow, so we're going to do the quiz first, and then we'll move on to feedback. Is that all right with everybody? It doesn't matter if it's not all right
it's
with everybody.
I still lose. It's fine.
Because obviously, if it goes on, there would have been a chance of more points being deducted and stuff.
Well, I don't mind going.
I've got a losing streak to keep up.
I'll be quiet. Right then. So now it's time for this week's edition of Kirby Interrupts the Intro yet again.
Kirby?
We won't get this one. You can see it off the screen, wouldn't you? She's interrupting me now. Right then, yeah, so right, let's start with Mary. Who do you think is going to win?
Debbie.
She did say she watched it three times.
Yeah.
Debbie, who do you think is going to win?
Kirby.
I put a J down. Kirby.
J will win.
Izzy, who do you think is going to win?
Debbie.
I didn't realise Izzy was on it. Okay,
Izzy. Shush, too late. Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
Debbie.
Okay. Moving on. Mary, who do you think is going to lose?
I'm going to pick Kirby this time.
Wow.
Aww.
I think Mary's been swatting up a little bit. Debbie, who do you think is going to lose?
Oh, God.
No, he's not playing.
Izzy, sorry, Izzy.
Yay!
Okay. It's an honor.
Izzy,
position.
Who do you think is going to lose?
Can I choose myself?
Yes.
Yay.
And Kirby, who do you think is going to lose?
Izzy.
Yay!
She comes down there, you'll get all your points deducted if she actually comes down there because you shouted out yay very loudly.
She's scary.
Well, yay. There you go. Right. So, here we go then. Everybody has a joker.
Okay.
And if I say you won't get this one and you get it, you get double points.
And when we go into bonus round, anybody answers has to go, I know, instead of
shouting. Oh, if you say so, Debbie. Right, the first question goes to Mary. Here you are, Mary, ready for this one. Whose blog was on the top right hand of the screen?
I know
it. Oh, darn. Who I darn? Don't know.
Oh, don't know. I'm with me. Priority jingle folder. It's... And one point goes into the bonus pot, and Izzy knows.
So it was like the top one.
Top right hand side. This here. Shut up, Star.
Rowell Blog.
What?
Rowell Blog.
Oh, no.
No, that was it.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. You said, whose blog is it? No. Grumpy Office Blog.
Well, why didn't you say that to start off with?
Well, you said whose blog it was. It's not Grumpy Office Blog.
Never mind. You got it right. Shut up.
See, I'm smart.
I didn't actually do the scores before that. There's still a point in the bonus pot. Oh, no, 1 point, not two. That was accidental. Okay, right, so Debbie, how do we... Oh, I just knocked my hand. That really hurt. Debbie.
Yes.
How many likes did Ryan's video have?
I know.
I don't know.
You do know. Hang on. I'm going to go... Another point goes into the bonus pot. Izzy knows.
11.
It would be 11. It's your favourite character out of Stranger Things.
I think I need to change who's going to win.
Yeah. Now, like, I know your tricks. I need you to do like related YouTube stuff.
Shut up.
Okay, I'm sorry.
How long did Graham and Grace have to catch their train?
20 minutes. Wait, what? Oh, yeah. No. I failed.
Nope.
Another Can I point. Have a go? I'm not sure I'll get it right.
Go on, then.
Is it 30 minutes?
Yeah. You're not the only one.
He said we've got 5 minutes to catch our train. It was an exaggeration.
That's a hell of a quick 5 minutes to get down from the...
He says that what they meant was they have 5 minutes to go and catch their train. That means their train was actually...
You say that the train leaves in 20 minutes.
Yes, but he said we have 5 minutes to catch it, which means they have to get going within the next five minutes, otherwise they can't catch... It's what was in the script. You got it wrong. Right. Kirby.
Master.
What is Ryan's surname?
I know.
Sinclair.
Ooh. Yeah. I love the way he paused and tried to make it.
I was going to joke it, but I wasn't quite sure.
Okay, right. There's 4 points in the bonus pot for this question.
Okay.
Where did we see the number 358?
Oh, God.
Got a shout out, you know if you know.
Yes, I can try.
Go on in, Mary.
On the policeman, that whoever, the sergeant or the guy in charge of Yaz.
Very close, yeah. But not, no cigar.
Yaz's number, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well done, Debbie.
I couldn't find it on my notes.
Debbie gets the bonus pot points. Right, so the scores are, including deductions and whatever we didn't mention before the thing. In last place with no points, it's Mary. In third place with 2 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 4 points, is Izzy. In the lead with 5 points, it's Debbie. Next question goes to Mary.
Okay.
Did Graham or Grace have the window seat?
I know.
You too.
Beg your pardon?
I said it first.
Did Mary come up with an answer?
I'm thinking. I'll say Grace.
Mm-hmm. Go on then. For what we are about to receive, may the street. Oh no, sorry. He's correct. Okay, Debbie.
Yes.
What was the doctor's first word?
Oh, I know.
I don't.
No, I know.
Is it something along the lines of... I don't know.
The jingle's playing really quietly. I don't understand why.
Is it come on or something like that?
Is it? No, it's...
I don't know.
Mary knows.
Yeah, it's what?
What?
Oh, yeah, because like Grace points what? Behind her.
Indeed. Right. So, point for Mary there. Izzy.
Ye.
What was the first thing the doctor said she hated?
Empty pockets. Should he use my joker?
Yes, you should. He didn't. Kirby.
Master.
What is Yaz's surname?
I know.
No, it's not.
Well, I know too.
I know.
We know.
Just remembered. And no, I didn't look it up.
Come
Joker,
on.
Yasmin Khan.
Yeah.
Khan!
Khan!
Got there in the end, didn't we?
I deliberately closed the Wikipedia page, by the way.
Yeah. We all trust Kirby, don't we?
You want me to take a picture of my screen?
No, I do not. Be quiet.
Just do it. Don't worry.
Right. Bonus pot, 1 point. Mm-hmm. Right. What disorder did Ryan have?
I know.
Go on in.
Dyslexia.
Nope.
No!
I know.
Hang on, 1 point. That's still 1 point available. Somebody said...
Oh, wait, no, I said it wrong.
Hang on, everybody. She says she said it wrong. Should we give her another go?
Yeah, give her another go.
Sure. You guys are too nice.
Go on in. One last go.
Well, say it right, then.
Yes, dyspraxia is a correct answer. You didn't read that answer properly, did you?
Yeah. He wouldn't have let us get away with that.
No, I asked you a lot. If you'd said no, it would have been no.
We said we know.
You guys said no. I don't mind. Right.
Both Mary and I said we know at the same time.
I know, but I said I asked you lot if it was okay for her to have another go. You said yes. That's all in your.
You guys could have said no. I don't.
Tactically,
mind.
You could have said no, and probably should have done actually. Well, then, Kirby.
Master.
What did? Oh, sorry. That was a bonus pot. Sorry. Shut up, Mary.
Yes.
Right. What did Ryan say he'd search for? He searched for, I should say.
I think I know.
Or he said he'd search for. He said, I'm going to search for.
I think I know.
Oh, I don't know.
No, hang on, so we can do.
I don't think I know.
That. And Kirby says he thinks he knows.
Well, I thought Isabella said.
No, I thought
no, go on, Kirby.
No, you go.
Weird stuff on social media.
Yeah.
Is the correct answer. Debbie.
Yes?
What make was Graham's car?
I don't know.
That was a quick...
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
How do we know?
Wow. The answer was Volvo.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. That's cool.
And by the way, team, we now know the sorts of things that Master is going to be... looking for the next time.
Right. Who was that question for originally?
Debbie. This weird stuff.
No, that was Mary, that question.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. Was it? Yeah. Okay, right, so therefore yeah, Debbie.
The make of the car was not me.
No, I thought it was Debbie's question. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, it was mine, yeah.
Be quiet,
yeah.
Right. Izzy.
Yeah.
Why was the doctor slower?
I know.
Because she's a... No, I don't know.
Kirby knows.
Well, I love that the answer is fizzing inside, but I love that...
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
You were thinking that she was going to... She's kind of... Because,
I had it written down.
She had it written down. She didn't say it. Right, Kirby. Kirby?
Me?
Yeah, you. What colour beanie hat did Ryan wear?
I have no idea.
I know.
Oh, Mary knows. Hang on. What's for Kirby, which we'll add to the bonus pot. Mary knows.
Well, it's kind of a sickly yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put down gold, but sickly yellow will do.
Yeah, goldish, yellowish, yeah. It's hard to tell with all these night scenes.
Indeed. Well, then, bonus pot. 5 points. And nobody's played the joke. Oh, Kirby played his joke. Kirby's played his joke. Big pardon. But there's 5 points in the bonus pot. So anyone who plays their joker on this will get a hat full of points.
Okay.
Here we go. What was the video file called?
I know.
Go on, then.
Joker.
Yes.
If I die, click here.
Boom.
Yes, boom indeed. Yes. That's changed the scoring somewhat. Get rid of the joker. Right, then. So that's true. Well, the scores are... In last place with 4 points, it's Mary. In third place with 5 points, it's Debbie. In second place with 8 points, it's Kirby. In the lead with 17 points, it's Izzy. All right, next question goes to Mary. What did the doctor smelt for her sonic screwdriver?
I know.
I don't.
Joker spoons.
Yeah, a little bit more.
Well, you know, silverware, spoons.
It was spoons, but there's sort of specific...
Something else.
I guess the Sheffield spoons.
I'll give you it. Sorry. Yeah, yes, Sheffield steel we were looking for, but yes.
Oh, okay.
That's near enough, yes.
Near enough.
All right, Debbie.
Yes.
How long ago did the sister vanish?
I know.
Oh, was it a year?
No.
Izzy knows.
7 years ago.
Here's a good answer.
If we record on that Monday, it means Izzy's not going to be able to join us, right?
No, I'm doing it.
Stop shouting.
Sorry.
Yes, it's half term.
Oh, early morning on a Monday?
It's half term.
Okay, right. I'm now going to change my predictions.
Okay, right then. Who's that last 7 years one for?
That was for Debbie.
So it's Izzy's question.
Yeah.
Here we go. What did the drunk knock like in his doner kebab?
The salad.
That fell nicely in your lap, didn't it, that question? And Kirby.
Master.
Only Debbie's left to play a joker, by the way. Kirby, what was the tentacly things called? What was the tentacly things called? What are they called?
I know.
Gathering coil.
Ooh.
Ah,
well. You got it right, everybody.
I actually had that written down.
Would you now? It's 1 point in the bonus pot.
Scribble monster.
Yeah. 1 point in the bonus pot. This is the 1 point bonus pot question. Mm-hmm. What species is Tim Shaw?
I know.
Go on, Em.
Stenza.
Which was... Spoiler.
Spoiler!
Okay, right. That's 1 point, not two. I'll give you too many points then. Three, four, then. That's our last round of questions. Mary? What was the name of the security guard killed by Tim Shaw?
I know.
It's Mary's question.
Oh. I know.
Yeah, well, I forgot.
Okay. Izzy said, I know first.
Dennis.
Yep,
I agree too, but Dennis is
poor Dennis.
Debbie, last chance to play this joker. Well, it isn't actually. It might be another question. Sorry.
I won't get it. Sorry.
Okay. What instructions did the doctor give Carl when he was in his cab?
Don't look down?
No. Anybody?
I actually don't know.
It was all one very quiet. Okay. It's up and over.
Oh, yeah.
Up and over were the instructions. Right. So.
Why would you say that?
That's what he said. She said, sorry. Izzy.
Yeah.
What was the doctor craving?
A cuppa and a fried egg sandwich.
The cuppa being the important thing because it's tea that helps the doctor. Anyway, right. Kirby.
Master.
What did the doctor threaten to destroy?
I know.
The recall thingy majigger.
I'll give you that.
Recall thingy majigger.
Recall pod, but yeah, you've got the important word there, recall. There's 3 points in the bonus.
It's not fair against Izzy's young memory.
Right, last 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. Why was the doctor annoyed at Carl?
I think I know that one, and I'll play my joker because he picked Tim Shaw off the...
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. So, 6 points for Debbie.
So that's 11 points.
I know, I can add up. Thank you very much.
He's been mad
the same. Okay, I'm sorry.
Good grief. Right, there's 1 point left. This is free-for-all, one question left. Free-for-all for 2 points.
Okay.
How long ago did Ryan's mother die?
I know.
Go on, Em.
3 years ago.
Oh, dear.
No. I think I know.
Hang on, whoa there. Debbie said no. So, Debbie, what's the answer?
It was 6 years.
Yeah.
I had two numbers written next to each other.
That's a shame, isn't it? Right then. So,
Mary to do it.
So the current scores. The quiz has knocked two viewers off the thing. Interestingly, but we've still got feedback to come yet, listeners. The current scores are: in last place with 8 points, Mary; in third place, or joint second place even, with 12 points each, is Debbie and Kirby; and then the lead with 24 points, it's Izzy. Right then. This is where it's all going to go pear shaped for everybody. Mary predicted Debbie to win.
Yeah, sorry, Kirby, I bumped you out of bottom place.
No.
Debbie predicted Kirby to win and Izzy to be in last place. Izzy predicted Debbie to win and Izzy to be in last place.
Hey.
And Kirby predicted Debbie to win and Izzy to be in last place.
Which
means... In last place with 8 points, Mary. Joint second with 12 points each, Debbie and Kirby. A mission accomplished for Izzy, who wins this week with 24 points.
Wait. Yay. I actually did it.
Yes, you did. Surprise, surprise.
That is a surprise.
Now, just wait for the rest of them to wipe their tears and blow their noses. While we move on to feedback. Got one here from us, a Tom Melrose.
Ooh.
Yes.
The dog just snored. And that's very rude star. Thank you very much. Right then. So I have a differing view to certain Melroses.
Oh, stop.
You want to read this one as well? It's quite funny. Whilst in New Who, we often have a companion-heavy doctor. This was almost overloaded. However, as an introduction to how the new doctor is going to interact with them and thereby how we as viewers are exposed to the new doctor's style, it gives us as viewers the opportunity to explore other views. And whilst it took a while for her as ever to shake off the regeneration, I thought at least gave some great lines. The villain was sufficiently creepy, and the reference to his scout stroke tentacle thing as the flying spaghetti monster, whilst a throwaway line, was very good, a good funny line for adults watching. There perhaps should have been a little more acknowledgement to the new gender of the Doctor, and I hope in future episodes they explore this and how a female view can, in reality, look very differently to a male one. Perhaps it was deliberate so as not to scare the naysayers who have been so vitriolic about the change. It's nice to see an invisible issue such as dyspraxia talked about, though it could have been done better, and someone who has dealt with this all my life and experience of this is not the same as mine. However, yeah. Everyone's experience is different. I have been told not to go on too long, so I'd simply have to say...
I probably have to read it.
I'd just like to say, I enjoyed the episode more than I have for a while. I hope they keep it up. Tom. Thank you, Tom. More of that, please. We got this. This would be interesting.
How you doing, 20 megabytes? Well, the long anticipatory period is well and truly over.
Yes.
Geordie's arrived at last. What can I say?
I don't know.
Well, coming from a very staunch advocate of the man must be a doctor. No. Other way around. The doctor must be a man. That's it. I was never a fan of the doctor becoming a woman. I've got my own personal reasons for that, having been a fan for years, but that aside, let's put my subjective views aside here and let me think objectively, okay? Right, Geordie did pretty good, I gotta say. She was absolutely ace. The quirkiness, the eccentricness, slightly weird, and just to add a bit more, bit of a plus to that, she's a bit lush on the eyes as well. She is and all. If she comes to Australia, right, if she comes to Sydney, I live near Perth, which is quite some distance. If she comes to Sydney, I'll spend lots of dollars and to go and see her, shake her hand, and I'll never wash my hand again. No, but she was very good. In fact, when I saw her tinkering around in the shed making the sonic screwdriver with the welder, I had quite a reminiscent moment of Pertwee back in the story Inferno when he was tinkering around with Bessie. So, yeah, some slightly Pertwee-esque aspect there, which I thought was quite grand. I'm looking forward to the rest of this interesting season. I think, I'm not quite won over yet, in all honesty, to tell you the truth, the woman becoming a doctor. I beg your pardon. No, the doctor becoming a woman, that's it. I still need some convincing, and I'm open to that, okay? So don't ride me off, all you people out there thinking, what's wrong with you? Well,
there's nothing wrong with you. You're allowed to pick.
But that's it for my lot. Yeah, happy days. Take care.
Yes, that was Billy Kirkbright, everybody. Thank you, Billy, for contributing that. Oh, this is a magnificent piece of feedback. I didn't even know I had this. Have a listen to this, everyone.
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabytes. It's Andy Only here. It's just after 1:30 on Sunday afternoon. We have to watch the first episode with Joe D. Whittaker. It's only a woman. Pretty surprised. Never saw that coming. What I think is, well, she certainly hit the ground running, literally, as well as metaphorically. It was a slightly confused story. I think there was a lot of stuff going on. A lot of times, I mean, how did she manage to build a sonic screwdriver in that short space of time? And how did Bradley Walsh and Grace know how to do all the work that they did, I think, and learning how to do a crane through YouTube videos. I suppose that does make some sense, but some of the times didn't quite fit together. I think it's left quite a few open plot holes about where the alien came from, what both the aliens that they were fighting, and are we going to see them again? Could well do. That's certainly quite an interesting one. Grace, somebody did make a comment. How long after she died was the funeral? Because if the doctor's still wearing the same clothes, then she's probably honking quite a bit by then, I would have thought.
Yes.
But to see at the end where she actually goes out and gets the outfits, you know, it shows the usual chaotic way that in which the doctor produces the outfit he ends up wearing, and it's never sort of a nice sense, oh yeah, that looks nice, I'll go with that. It's really sort of more a haphazard throwing things together and just seeing what works. A bit like me when I get out of bed on a Saturday morning, I suppose, really, isn't it? But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think she's certainly developing her own character. I think there's no problems with having three companions. I know this is a problem with the Peter Davison area because they all get in each other's way, but I think because you've got three diverse in terms of age, in terms of culture, in terms of background, I think they're all going to bring different things to it. I think what might when it happen is you might have stories where one of them is perhaps in the background a little bit more than the others. You might have one with a doctor in the background, which I think it actually works quite well. You know, yeah. We've had it before with Tony Tennant, where the doctor was very much a peripheral role and the companions were leading the way, so that could well happen. But thoroughly enjoyed. I think a lot of the naysayers are eating humble pie. I think she's still got a lot of work to do to make it happen. Ratings, obviously, very, very good. I wonder how much of that was simply because it's the new Doctor, it's a woman, let's see what it's like. We can just see how it holds up towards the end of the season. So we'll take them there then. But other than that, yeah, I enjoyed it. I'll be certainly watching again. I don't watch on Sunday night because we've got other things to do, unfortunately. But I'll certainly catch up and hope to speak to you next week. Be seeing you. Bye.
That was Andy and Annie, everybody. What a
thank
nice
you,
hearing
Andy.
Voice.
Oh, Andy.
What else we got here? Oh, we've got this. Jeff Waddle. Well, that was pretty good, wasn't it? Not a great story. Simple enough, as most Doctor introduction stories are. But the show has never looked better. True. And it was owned... Oh, that was lovely scenery, wasn't it? The one we saw today. The location. Mm-hmm. I just want... No spoilers, but the location work on the one we saw today was fantastic. But back to the story feedback. But the show has never looked better. And it was only when I was halfway through I realised I wasn't hearing any of the blooming Murray Gold orchestra stuff. And what a difference that made.
Oh, yeah.
And again, on this week's story, the music's really good too. So, Jodie
was
sensational.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jodie, not saying Murray Gold's music's rubbish, let's say, but we have had it for a long
nice
time.
No, it's nice to have changed, something crisper.
Something new.
Not so invasive.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like Murray Gold's earlier themes, but as it went along for me, it kind of degraded.
Yeah. Jodie was just the right amount of quirky, serious, manic and sexy all rolled into one. It's nice that for me personally, this is not what Jeff's saying. We've had sexy doctors in recent years.
Yes, David Tennant will forever be the sexy doctor.
Yeah, and I think a few of them, not necessarily Peter Capaldi, could fall into that bracket. But it's nice to have a sexy doctor that's a woman now, so that's nice. I liked Graham too. The new doctors seem to work well with older companions, but I'll reserve judgment on the other two, that's what I said. I still think that four in the TARDIS is a bit too much, possibly five, as Grace is a recurring character, apparently. Ooh, spoilers.
Oh, no.
Grace is a recurring character.
I mean, I love her. I love her, but they're not going to try and bring her back, are they?
Well, we'll see. They do that. It's a timey-wimey programme, Debbie. Didn't we'll see what happens. It's not confirmed. It's just what Jeff says, not necessarily. You know, it's at the moment, speculation. Right, Sheffield looked great at night, as the director had been taking notes from Nordic noir thrillers like The Bridge.
Yes, yeah, it was very much The Bridge, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'd be surprised if Graham doesn't sacrifice himself, possibly for Ryan, as it is clear he sees himself living on borrowed time. All in all, pretty good start to season 11. Not as good as the 11th hour as an opener, but not far off it. Didn't like the roll call of actors at the end, though. That didn't bother me. Was half expecting. You have been watching.
They carried on the theme tune, and they showed absolutely everyone who's going to be on the show.
Well, all the main actors that are going to be really? Guesting in the show over the next 10 episodes, or 11 episodes, if you can include the special.
They're coming up with their names as well. Most of them we were going, who?
You didn't know who these people were. It's not like a cavalcade of stars that are coming.
There's a couple of big names
there
in there.
Few, like Art Malik and people like that. But yeah, there was quite a few in there that we were like, who? And we had to Google, you know.
Yeah, but there was a few in there. We thought, oh, wow. Who did you pick up on that you thought, oh, wow, is he? No, okay, fair enough. Right then, you have been watching. Yeah, we didn't. I was half expecting you have been watching to scroll along the bottom, a la Dad's Army. Roll on the rest of the season. After too many seasons of treading water and regurgitating storylines of freshness, is just what the doctor ordered. So, nice one, Jeff. I suppose I better get this ready. See the multitasking I have to do on this show. Oh, it's not ready. Hang on. And then I see the multitasking I have to do on this show.
Go and open it in iTunes, you know what that's like.
Hello, 20 Minute Map Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Yay!
Woman Who Fell to Earth by Chris Chibnall. Somebody out there wants me. At last, the doctor from Yorkshire.
Yay! Lots of fun coming off.
She's the second Yorkshire Town lady, whereas Romana 1 was played by Mary Tam from Bradford.
Ah.
Eamon McCrimmon was played by Fraser Hines from Horsworth.
Well, there you go.
Jodie Whittaker from Skelmanthorpe near Huddersfield. It has a narrow gauge railway station, and the skyline to the north is dominated by a TV transmitter mast.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So she arrives in a TV show by falling into a train. We see one of the characters on a YouTube video. Some viewers watch the show that way. The doctor did not hit the ground running. She hit a train. The train was not running. I saw the film The Predator a few weeks ago, and this story has some similarities. This episode had high viewing figures, despite Mr. Shoveler and others disapproving. Ryan touches the pattern floating in midair, and touches the capsule that appears. I think this might be a trend for his character. He has dyspraxia, to add to the diversity of this childish crew. Chris Chibnall was a writer on Torchwood. The first episode of that show had a character who seemed to be destined to be a regular, but was killed in the first episode. And the same here with Grace. The Doctor is searching for a TARDIS. She was thrown out, a little like Matt Smith's first episode.
Yes.
But he managed to hang on. David Tennant had a falling out, though.
Hmm.
I've seen a TARDIS in Jodie's home village of Skelmanthorpe. You can't miss it. It's outside the butcher's on the main road.
Wow.
I love the picture.
I can't remember the improbability factor of being rescued from floating unprotected in deep space before dying. Bye for now.
Nice one.
Yay.
Thanks, Ian. Oh, well, there's something else come through.
He's becoming, that's a longer than a lot of the later, more recent ones.
Yeah, but I can, that's what she had said, by the way. But I can live with that.
Mary?
Debbie?
Yes.
Oh, Mary.
I just posted the title sequence from the end of that the episode we just talked about. Yeah. With all those guests.
I saw it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyway, as I was trying to say, that was pretty relevant to the story, wasn't it? Yeah. Just sent Debbie some blurb.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Uh-oh. Hope your internet holds up for this.
Yeah. All right. Tap, tap. Carl's Run or Attack of the Frozen Dental Fetishist. Dear 20 Megabyters, The Woman That Fell to Earth was, of course, a closely studied critique of crypto-fascist populists. Mr. Tim Shaw plainly mirrors the contemporary Messrs. Trump and Johnson types, who will not only engage in sharp practices to climb the greasy pole, but morally vacuous as the system is following, maybe he still abuses it, cheats and sees humans as valueless pawns for his own glorification. Employing the information, gathering properties of the tossed salad monster. Oh, that's a new one.
Salad monster.
The tossed salad monster. Sorry, that was Tom dropping something. Reflects the sort of privileged network available to these sorts of people to bend the rules, and the dental practice observed obviously represents the way that they blatantly wear with pride the misfortunes of others by which they reap advancement. The Doctor defeats Mr. Shaw by outwitting this fundamentally limited who, whilst very effective at how he works the system, nevertheless builds in the foundations of his own defeat because he is too sure of himself. It should be noted that while some suggest that you can't have a woman playing the Doctor, this hypothesis has been well and truly blown out of the water.
Yeah.
We also learn that the Pied Piper that caused trouble for Sarah Jane Smith whilst dressed as a clown for some reason saw the error of his ways, moved north and took up bus driving under the name of Graham. Didn't spot that.
Yeah.
All in all, The Woman That Fell to Earth is a highly derivative but very successful introduction to a new team of characters with well-developed connections. The Doctor hits the ground running here in more ways than one, and more than usual after regeneration, with a much curtailed respite to get her head together.
Yes.
It works and is probably wise given a small but vocal group out there of Never Woman fans to confound. Welcome back to a Whittaker as a major part of Doctor Who for the first time since 1970, albeit with an additional tea this time. I never say no to another tea. There is real pathos in the loss of Grace, who is appropriately named as she is clearly a walking... Oh, no. Eucatastrophe.
Well done.
Ryan and Graham. This, of course, means her death at the time of the appearance of the Doctor makes sense as a handover to the ultimate personification... Oh, my God. Of your catastrophe that is the Doctor. This and the events of the story clearly links Grace and the Doctor in the title. This story is perhaps most of one episode too short, as if you had the extra time available, you could have a better developed story and still introduce the new characters. Next up, Doctor Who and the desert hunt type thing, which hopefully gets her to the TARDIS as soon as possible. Butcher.
Well done, Debbie, and well done, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Did I help someone? Could you repeat what it was that you said you didn't spot? Or I missed that.
Hang on. Just go back up.
At the actor playing.
We also learn that the Pied Piper that caused trouble for Sarah Jane Smith whilst dressed as a clown for some reason saw the error of his ways, moved north and took up bus driving under the name of Graham.
Yes. That's if you watch all of the Sarah Jane Adventures stories, Bradley
Which
Walsh was the sinister clown in one of the stories.
Who was?
Bradley Walsh.
Really?
Yes, he played in the story that Sarah Jane's husband was in, I do believe.
Yeah, I remember that.
I didn't know.
Sorry, not Sarah Jane's husband. Sorry, Elizabeth Sladen's husband. I do apologise.
Really watched it, so yeah.
Faux pas.
Oh, okay, yeah, the Odd Bob. Okay, Day of the Clown.
Yes.
I completely missed that. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I know.
I
did actually mention it when he was cast in Doctor Who. Izzy is going to bed.
Night, Izzy. Love you.
Night,
Izzy.
Night. Right, be quiet night. While the door's opened, otherwise we'll be in trouble.
I know.
No, the dog's going to get out now, isn't he?
Stop flapping your ears.
Sorry.
All right then, yes. So, yes, I did actually mention this when Bradley Walsh was cast, Kirby, but obviously you weren't listening.
I wasn't listening.
Why has my live video ended? I'm not happy about this. My live video ended, probably because it went over the 2-hour mark. I'm going to have to restart it now, but not before.
No, it's an hour and a half these days.
Well, I'm going to have to post that one and restart it. Well, let me continue. I've got to do a few things for the benefit of the listeners. Yes, what we got here? Goes quite a lot here. Ian Kirk says, perhaps I've done that one.
Was there much feedback from the
We'll go on to feedback in a minute. I'm just trying to catch up with this stuff. Ian Kirk says, perhaps there was a joke intended when she says it's a long time since she's shopped for women's clothes. We've done that one. And then Laurie Nick says, I've done that one as well. Oh, now the dog wants to come back in. Oh, good grief. Come on, in you come. Quick. Get in. Quick. Get in. Thank you. Grief. Go away. Go away. Leave me alone. Right, the dog's pestering me now. I've lost my spot again now. Oh, yeah. Laurie Nick says, not that I wouldn't want a doctor wearing a bullet bra and lipstick, but that's just my kink. Lillian Robin says, I love Jodie Whittaker. And then she says, the doc...
Get off! Bloody idiot you are! Get off it!
That's what she said?
No, the dog has just wrapped his foot around the recording cable for you lot. Things I have to put up with. Lenny Robbins says, Adam, oil that chair. Brandon Moore, an old fan of Alicia, said, I think I'm going to win. And then Lenny Robbins said, yay for Izzy. And then Lillian Robbins says, have Izzy... Oh, dear. Missed that one, sorry. Have Izzy say the Doctor fell down to the ground and edit it together with her original toddler catchphrase.
The Doctor fell down to the ground.
No, that wasn't Izzy, by the way. Jeff Waddle said, he who wins shall lose, and he who loses shall win. And then says, I hope PC Khan eventually meets the Autons in an episode, Yaz and the Plastic Population. And then Alan T. Butcher said, the feed died. And then Laurie Nick said, ah, right, I better post, the feed, feed will return. And that's post done. And then make sure I'm on the right page and go live again. That's a bit of a nuisance, wasn't it? No wonder where Isabella's gone. Here we go. Starting up again for part two. Welcome back. Oh, there's nobody there. Is it really worth me saying anything? Oh, dear, how annoying. Right then, so back to feedback. We were going to talk about feedback in relation to what Debbie Melrose posted earlier on in the day.
Laurie's posted a nice long one.
Now, Laurie Nick says, no comments yet. Liked the way it looks and was filmed, particularly the night shots and down-to-earth locations. That's number one. Number two, 13 is on point, cheery and quirky, with people skills and broad accents all around. It's perhaps needed nowadays. Three, the invasion story was meh. The tooth monster was plain stupid, but the mystery detective angle kept my attention as it unfolded. Number four, of more interest to me is the TARDIS team. So many of them in their backstories and how they interrelate. That's right. My favourite was Grace. Oh well. And number five, jarring and poignant death beyond the salad tossing drunk. Death and its repercussions are handled differently. The corpse of the fellow seeking his missing sister and granddad's guard's sudden murder, and finally Grace's fall to the earth and its aftermath. I was not expecting to have all the feels. Six, guilty pleasures. I have more appreciation for the new Sonic now. I would very much like to go thrift shopping with the Doctor.
Got all enough thrifting.
Pardon? Sorry?
I said you got enough thrifting.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favourite things.
Well, I wouldn't want to go with the Doctor. I mean, she flings everything out of there.
Yeah.
Does
that mean I'm
hanging
that up? Yeah. All in all, a good debut, but not my favourite, but certainly ticked off all the boxes. Now, I did notice that I got a funny feeling that Tess Daly and Claudia Winkleman had been watching Doctor Who, because they said we'll be on Sunday after the brilliant Doctor Who. So that was quite an interesting little tidbit from them. Jeff Waddle, Grace is a recurring character. Another spoiler there from Jeff. Laurie Nix, as a ghost, haunted TARDIS, it could work, lols. Jeff Waddle, Chameleon is coming back. And then Laurie Nix says, do you call it thrift shopping, by the way? Charity store shopping? Because that death looked like used clothing store to me. Yes, it was a charity store, Laurie. Jeff Waddle, it's Thrifties in Scotland. Ian Kirk, charity shop in England. Debbie Melrose, I call it thrifting or charity shopping. Oh, this is a boring conversation, isn't it? Jeff Waddle, sent some. It'll make
I'm sat here in my charity shop outfit.
Yes.
Doing very well, thank you.
Be quiet. Right then. Jeff Waddle said, sent some. It'll make no sense as I'm sober and I don't like the feeling. Or this feeling. Kirby Bartlett Sloan cursed her, sent a picture of Hershey's Kisses, which I do recognise, actually. And then Ian Kirk said, the TV transmitter just north of Skelmanthorpe is the narrow gauge station at Skelmanthorpe. That row of paving stones is the platform. Now, talking of TV transmitters, that is my favourite building in the United Kingdom. It's called Emily Tower, I believe. Let's make sure I've got that right. It's the tallest freestanding building in Britain. And there was a programme in which, I can't remember who went, a couple of random people that used to be on University Challenge visited it a few weeks ago. And it's this humongously tall, made of concrete and totally hollow. And you there's a lift that takes you up to the top of it. But it's not anything the public can generally go and see. But you can see it from miles around up in Yorkshire. And it is so tall, you wouldn't believe it. It stands out on the horizon because it's that big. And it is, I like tall buildings. And that is
what's it called?
Emily Tower. it's a TV transmitter, but it's just, it looks like one of those buildings you see in the middle of a city, but it's out in the middle of the countryside. It's fascinating. I'd love to go and see it close up. There you go. And that's all the comments we got on that. So thanks, everybody who did provide us with a bit of feedback. But please keep it coming. We've got another 10 episodes, including the Christmas special, to go. And, of course, the one we watched today. It's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, or you can join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, where you can watch me live when we record the show. So anybody who – is anybody watching yet? So I've got to check this. Anybody watch? Yeah, we've got three viewers. Woohoo! That's probably because I posted it in the wrong place. No, I haven't. Yeah, so I'm all getting all nervous now because I've got different viewers that we had before. Yeah, so if you want to watch the next episode, we are recording on Monday, the day after the next episode, if that's not enough confusion for you all. And it'll be Monday morning, 10 a.m. in Great Britain. So work out your time zones everywhere else, and especially as very soon all the clock go back. An hour's extra sleep last Sunday in October. Not yet, but it could be by then. No, it won't be, will it? Comic Con is on the 20th, then we got, and the 21st, so 22nd.
Okay, yeah, I haven't noted. It happens on the 28th.
Alan T. Butcher says, my feedback was censored. It got cut off in midstream. You'd have to listen to the episode, Alan. That's a novel thing, listening to a podcast. Lillian Robin said, what happened? Well, Facebook seems to have put a limit on the stream of an hour and a half, so it just stopped. I do apologise, everyone. I was unaware this was going
to
happen.
For a while, and now it seems to be the thing.
It used to be unlimited, and now they've put an hour and a half. I'll have to keep an eye on that. Alan T. Butcher says, I guess it's now podcast exclusive content. Well, sort of, yes, but that's the idea. Listen to the show, as I keep telling everybody actually that's on the show to listen to it. So, yes, I did sort of drift off a bit. I've gone off on a tangent.
You said the 22nd at 10 in the morning.
10 a.m., 22nd of October.
Okay.
Izzy will be here, apparently, she says. But you know, she quite enjoyed winning. She's a bit competitive.
Well, I predict that she will win.
If she turns up. So, you know, still quite early in the morning for her, to be fair, especially when it's our school holidays. So that was it for feedback. And I say, it's a lovely load of feedback. It'd be nice if that happened every week, wouldn't it? Oh, okay, don't say so. It's fine. I suppose we should move on to Doctor Who news. That'd be interesting because I've heard everybody's mentioned about the viewing figures for the first episode being particularly good. Now, they wouldn't have added on all the download figures as well. So they're going to be exceptionally good, aren't they? Well, it was a good episode. I think it should be enough to keep the casual viewer interested. No? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you are good. Thanks, Debbie, for contributing an answer to that. Give up. I don't know why I bother. Right then, Doctor Who news. DWAS honours William Hartnell. The Doctor Who Appreciation Society has honoured the actor who played the first Doctor, William Hartnell. And what would William Hartnell have thought of one of his predecessors, no, sorry, successors, being played by a woman? I wonder if it'd be how he would have reacted to that. Had he been able to predict it. Anyway, they produced a blue plaque marking his work in film and television. The plaque was unveiled at a ceremony in Ealing Studios by Jessica Carney, granddaughter of William Hartnell, who attended with her mother, William Hartnell's daughter, Anne Carney, and her brother, Paul Carney. That's lovely, isn't it? Very small gathering. I see that Caroline Ford was also there. Doctor Who Episodes 3 and 4. The BBC has released details of Doctor Who Episodes 3 and 4. Kirby would be interested by this. Episode 3 is called... Do we say a spoiler warning for people who don't want to know?
Yes, we should say spoiler warning.
So anybody who's also listening now, if you don't want to know, because I'm just about to say, because they've announced this, the BBC have announced this, so essentially it's not a spoiler. Episode 3 is called Rosa. I'm not going to do the synopsis, but I will read it. I don't think it really gives the story away. We have actually seen a preview of that. Anybody in the UK who's watched Doctor Who would have seen a preview for Episode 3 anyway.
Well, I also posted it on the Facebook group.
And Episode 4, oh, God, is called Arachnids in the UK.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think that's the remake of Planet of Spiders with the sound of it.
Oh, no.
There's a limited edition Doctor Who Barbie. My God.
I can't believe I just asked for it for Christmas.
Barbie a la Jodie Whittaker. Not quite the same as the one I've got, although the actual costume is very, very similar, to be fair. No. It's similar. But, yeah, that's quite a cute thing to have, but I'm not going to be getting it. But it's going to be a collector's item, I reckon, that one. Are you going to get it then, Ida?
Oh, yes, I'm getting it.
Goody, goody.
Ida, because she wants it.
And it's got What the Fans Think, Torchwood. I'm not going to talk about that, because we're talking about Doctor Who. River Song, Series 6, 7, confirmed by Big Finish. There's lots of really good stuff coming out on Big Finish, especially stuff involving David Tennant and Catherine Tate.
That looks really
interesting. Now, there's a little preview of the Ghost Monument next Sunday, which has just been on. And there's some lovely pictures which really do depict the beauty, we'll have to say. I'm not going to give any spoilers for the story, but it's a very beautiful episode, is it not, Debbie?
It is, yeah. It's absolutely brilliant. It was atmospheric.
Yeah, and brilliant. It's very easy on the eye. And yeah. I can say without spoiling anything that Jodie Whittaker continues in the same vein. She's still and will continue to be fantastic. 10th Doctor and Donna back for more audio adventures. I just said that.
Yeah.
But I noticed there's a little picture preview that includes those characters, including Bernard Cribbins and Donna's mum. There'll be the Jadoon as well. I've got my shoes coming off, so I'm putting it back on again. So lots of good stuff coming up in Doctor Who News, and it's so exciting having New Who, especially New Who that so far, even though the story wasn't too good in episode one, is very easy on the eye and good to watch, and hopefully the general public that aren't Doctor Who fans will enjoy it. And it warms my heart, in fact, that Jeff Waddle likes it. I'd just be interested to hear what Ben thinks. Okay, fair enough. Right, we'll have to get something from Ben.
Did he watch it? Has he mentioned it to you at all?
No. I don't know. I'm a bit scared to go there, but I might have to message him, see if he... Bear in mind, we're recording on Monday next time. He might be available for that, so... we'll see what we can do with Mr. Shoveler, not least to get a little bit of comedy on the show. All right, we've got some stuff coming through on the thread. Dean Hill. Hello, everyone. Hello, Dean. I think he's coming to the con, Mr. Hill. Might not see him on the Saturday because I won't be there for very long. Alan T. Butcher. I think it was probably the intervention of the CIA and replying to Dean. Hello, Dean. Dean Hill said, good evening, Mr. Butcher. And then he said it was...
Dean is coming. Sorry, I meant to say, yeah.
No, he told me that. Dean said it was a very brief preview. Or was it? I don't think it was, actually. Watch the previous stream. Alan T. Butcher, see you next week on the 20 Megabyte Island. And then he said,
yay!
Yeah, he's really looking forward to seeing you and your good self, Mr. Pearson. I won't be there. Well, not till Sunday. And then Lillian Robin said she wants the Barbie. That doesn't surprise me. I think that, in fact, Lillian, there is another special version of the Barbie with hosiery as an extra feature. So, sadly, for the newcomers to this particular thread, not the one we had previously, where we did actually do a big review of the episode, this one's coming to an end. And I'd like to reiterate... Come and join us at 10 a.m. On the 22nd of October, where we'll be looking at the most recent episode, the title of which I've forgotten. Sorry. What's it called? Oh, yeah. Ghost Monument.
Ghost Monument.
Ghost Monument.
Yes, I did notice Jeff Waddle throwing the odd spoiler here and there while... the episode was on, which is a bit annoying.
And me, Alan, sorry.
Well, I've already read the synopsis on Wikipedia, so I know.
What a surprise. So, yes, I don't know what else to say. I'd like to carry on, but it's actually been really good fun tonight. I'm not sure there was something else I wanted to say, too. Oh, yes, the con. There was something else I wanted to say.
That interesting thing.
Yes. Well, the map for the convention has been sort of given out to a few people. And we are rather scarily, as in the Doctor Who zone, rather scarily in the hall with all the guests. So
we can't do the quiz.
We can't do the quiz. That's not a problem. What scares me a little bit is they're going to plonk us in the corner, which is where they've put us, and... I've got a funny feeling they're going to dump all the Doctor Who celebrities right next to us. So that could be a bit worrying. So we'd have to, well, especially Debbie, we'll have to actually behave themselves.
Oh, snag.
Yeah. I'm going to give...
Well, I've got my little Mr. Men books I'm going to take in. I'm going to try and persuade Sylvester and Mary's boyfriend to sign them. And
you realise you have to pay for those, don't you?
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just going to see if after being with them for 2 days I get so fed up with me.
Do you realise they'll have their agents with them, don't you?
Yes, I know.
And their agents say, no, money. I'll be saying
this. All right,
I'll
still try.
Not always.
Well, John Davey, it will be coming up on Friday, and it's a possibility he might be going up for a drink with him. And I've been in conflabs with him quite regularly on his sort of progress in actually getting over. He told me today that he's got his ferry booked and stuff, but he's just waiting to find out whether he's bringing Paul with him. Paul being Mary's boyfriend, Paul McGann.
Yay.
So we
got anything you want to say me to say to him on your behalf? I was thinking of having my photo done with your picture.
Don't worry, Debbie. I'll be saying something myself to him because I'm sure I will see him at some point over the weekend. But thanks anyway.
But when I met Sophie, she gave us many pictures without charging.
I had a worry from a few moments what you were going to say when you said many pictures without. And then was quite relieved when he said charging, so that's quite a relief.
Yeah, both Paul and I were pretty drunk when we had those pictures taken that I posted.
That's the secret, is it? That's the secret. Okay, we'll have to bear that one in mind, Debbie.
Get him drunk.
To supply him with alcohol.
Drunk. Some whiskey. There you go.
So we'll hopefully have Sophie and Sylvester and John and Paul and all the other Doctor Who guests quite nearby. Oh, yes, and Alistair. Yes.
I just posted. Oh, Alistair's going to be there. Good. Yeah. I just posted a link to the floor plan.
Thank you for that, Kirby. Really, really nice. For God's sake. You have got your nose in every Doctor Who pie, haven't you?
I wish I could be there.
So do I. At least on the Saturday. I will be there briefly, probably until about 11 a.m. before I have to go off and photograph a wedding. Not my choice, but unfortunately the wedding was booked before the convention date was given out, so I was a bit, I have cleared the convention date for the following year, but there's been lots of moanings. I just want to point out that standing up for the Island Con, there's been lots of moanings and people trying to stir trouble because certain guests aren't going from America, but I'm not going to say why, but I think it's a bit mean of certain guests trying to undermine the convention because they haven't been allowed to come for one reason or another, which is political. The convention's on. We've got it's got loads of really good guests, especially the Doctor Who angle. We've got some fantastic Doctor Who guests coming along, so it's going to be fab. So don't take any notice of these more moody, moany people who are trying to ruin everything for us here on the Isle of Wight to have our first huge convention. They are trying, and even what got me in last week's Candy Press, they were slagging off the convention in one page, and then another part of the paper there was a fantastic advert about it saying how wonderful it was.
I don't understand that. I really don't understand. You think they'd be embracing the fact that something was bringing attention to the Isle of Wight?
Somebody's jealous. Somebody's jealous. It's going to be fab. Please come along. Get yourself a ticket. There's a few tickets left. And come and see us. And it's essentially a Doctor Who convention. Forget about all the other stuff. I've been to Doctor Who conventions that have got, talking about the Doctor Who zone, have actually had less Doctor Who guests than this one's got. So it's worth coming along just for the Doctor Who aspect.
They didn't put Alistair directly across from you guys. They should move.
Hang on.
Swap it.
Hang on. Whoa. You've actually got the guest layout.
Yes.
The guest layout.
Can we have a look at this guest layout? Where have you seen this? I haven't even seen this. This annoys me.
Follow the link.
Which link? Oh, hang on.
On the Facebook group.
You mean our Facebook group?
Yes.
I can't see any links. Hang on, let's refresh the page. Oh, it's not refreshing. Oh, it is now. I don't know. I've got one person wants to join the group. Well, who's that? Right, they're approved. Jodie Whittaker. Thank you, Jodie, for joining the... right. Oh, here we are. Floor plan. Let's see what this is news to me. We'll finish off talking about the con. We haven't done
That's the big...
We've got a small thing to do, though. We haven't mentioned the sponsor.
Well, if you let me finish, the sponsors, or our main sponsor, who1.co.uk, are going to be there.
Who1.co.uk?
Yes, come and see them. Well, I can't see. It's not clear.
Scroll down past the first one to the second, showing guest.
Oh, Doctor Who's on. Right, six, who's number five? That's nothing to do with Doctor Who. Number seven, he's nothing to do with Doctor Who. Number five.
But see, Alistair is three.
Alistair is three. Well, he's near us.
Yeah.
Four. Hang on, where have they put the Doctor Who's? They're not even on there. Does that mean they're not coming then?
No, I don't know how they're going to set your guests up, but they're at least showing them.
Well, look down. There's little green spots down the left-hand side. I've got a funny feeling that's where we're going to see. And also, looking at that map, where am I going to fit my tent? He said I've got plenty of room to put my 8-meter by 3-meter tent for doing Doctor Who viewings. We'll see what happens there. But, yeah, the floor plans are quite interesting. Thank you for that, Kirby. You don't get any points for it, but I'm just going to look into it because I'm trying to see where Who One are in the map because they're there somewhere, aren't they?
Yeah, where are they?
I don't know. They said they were going to be
one of the traders' markets.
Yeah, no, I'm looking for the traders' market here, but it's not up there. Kirby hasn't posted the traders' market.
No, you keep scrolling down.
Oh, well, yeah, keep scrolling down. No, it just says traders' market 3-4.
I don't see. Oh, there they are.
You found them.
The red number 4.
The red number 4. Whoone.co.uk. Oh, there they are. Bless them. So you
traders'
can come...
market number 3.
Good for them. Now, I look forward to seeing them.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great, 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 fantastic, great, super.
What's an anxiety room?
Where you can also see lots of people going around wearing Lavazzi scarves. And Billy Kirkbright, indeed, in Australia, bought a Lavazzi scarf, everybody. And did you notice how I segued there and talked about our sponsors without having to go into the usual website scenario? That was clever of me, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, of course it was. I'm glad you worked that one out for yourself. No ding. Right, so before we finish, it's going to be looking at the last few. It says, Alice Butcher, everyone, Adam is having fun. Please up your game. Laurie Nix, Doctor Who celebs never behave. And then Alice Butcher, Paul may mention Mary before you get the chance to. I don't think he will. He might do. I just said some bird you snogged in a lift. Oh, yeah, that's Mary Lang. Alizy Butcher. Oh, I've done that one. Dean Hill says, and Doctor Who friends. And then Laurie Nix has found us, but sadly too late. And then Andy Butcher said, look, there's Laurie. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to have to listen to the episode. Isn't it awful? It's a podcast, everybody. Listen to it. Right, so that's about it then for this week. Aren't we excited? It's a new series of Doctor Who, and it seems to be quite watchable.
Oh, yes.
Yes, indeed.
I hope to watch the new episode shortly.
I will say, I'm hoping this is...
We'll be able to watch it in less than 3 hours.
Well, I hope that we're going to hear that within this series that they're going to start filming the next series in January. I'll be very happy about that because I like this time of year. I like it being on Sunday. It's lovely to be able to actually watch it when it goes out and not sort of switch my phone off and avoid spoilers and actually be able to watch it when it's out. And that didn't happen to me much in the last few years that Doctor Who's been on.
How are you guys going to watch it next week? Just go home and...
Well, the convention finishes at 5. I'm fairly confident we can pack everything up and get home by... Was it 6:55 the Doctor Who's on?
You're just going to be too tired to record.
Yeah.
Not prepared enough to record, Kirby. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Stop snoring, Star. So that's about it.
I'm going to be snoring. I haven't done the 5 a.m.
Oh, be quiet. Think of Mary. She'd be snoring more than you.
Mary, will you be able to join us for that Monday?
I we're talking next Monday.
No, not tomorrow. A week tomorrow. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Psychologically prepare yourself.
Next Monday.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll all depend on my work schedule.
Yeah, come on, Mary, come on. I hope you do. Wouldn't be the same without you, would everybody?
5 a.m. Oh God.
Anyway, so
I'll do it.
Ruin that.
Nearly got a word in. Anyway, for the viewers and listeners and everybody taking part in the show, thank you very much. Do it again next week. It'll be fun. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye, Pixie Pants. We'll be right back.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.